This is Stormy Mitchell. We're at Stroud's Barbecue every Thursday night. It's Coach's Corner. Terry Merrill along with Stormy Mitchell. Tonight, we do have the guru, Murphy Fair himself. He has driven, an hour, 15 minutes plus from, was it Woodbury, other side of Woodbury? This side of Woodbury. And we're going to talk high school playoffs, all divisions. Terry, all we have to do tonight is sit, eat barbecue, and listen.
Now, Murphy, Stormy Murphy is going to be on his best behavior tonight because he brought his better half, Miss Hope, with him. And so he will be in line. You can count on it tonight.
Well, that's true, and you're on a short leash tonight too, because Miss Lucy's here. So.
Well, touche.
But by the way, we do have a program change. Neither one of you wear this, but at 6 p.m. we're going to turn up to the ladies, and we're going to have the ladies tell all at 6
now,
o'clock.
That will be fun.
Hope said it would take a lot more than 30 minutes, so I'm going to have her another time.
I can't speak. Murphy, can you agree with that?
Where's the plug I'm supposed to pull?
Where's the plug? No. Now you're going to have to drive her home.
Now, Murphy, we know you were here a week ago, but we know you couldn't take being gone too long, so you're back with us tonight to have some more Strouds to visit with Stormy and I, right? Not because of us, but because of the food.
Yeah, I told Hope on the way over, I said, I'm going to get some banana pudding tonight. I didn't do that last week.
Well, I hope we saved you some. That's all we can say.
Oh, goodness, Always good to have the guru with us. It's playoff week number one. If you've been out of the country or whatever the case may be, Murphy, I had this question for you. Stormy and I talk about this every year, I guess. What's more exciting for you, week one of the season or first round playoffs?
Actually, that's two of three choices, and you failed on both of them. It's week 11, because there's so many teams on the bubble. You know, if so-and-so wins, they go. If they lose, maybe the team that lost to goes, maybe somebody else does, because it's like Region 6 over here. There was three-way tie for first place, and unless you were a Bruin fan, I don't know, a lot of people gave Brentwood a chance to end up winning the region, but it turned out that way. So it's and I guess a lot of that dates back to when I used to do the football playoff program, because I always had to be in Lewisburg at 5:30 the next morning with all the brackets and all the programs ready to go so that we could mail them out first thing, UPS them out, whatever, first thing Monday morning, so that those programs would be in place at 80 or 90 sites all across the state.
Now, tell us where your travels have taken you this year. I know each Friday I usually check in with you to find out where everybody wants to know where's Murphy Fair going tonight, but you've really crisscrossed, as you always do, over the state to see some really good football this season.
A little bit, maybe not quite so much this year as I have in the past, but I did get over to West Tennessee to Huntingdon to watch them in Waverly play, which turned out not to be a very good game. Huntingdon just really wore them out, scored 60-something points, 21-0 in the first quarter before Waverly even knew what happened. I've been to Adamsville to watch them because that's close to where my daughter lives, Savannah. East Tennessee probably only traversed as far as, I don't know. I didn't go east very far at all, not much beyond Cannon County where I live. So, but I have, I've seen games from one end of the state to the other over the years. So it's just getting a little more difficult to get out and leave so much earlier to try and get to an Eastern time zone game. But it does allow me to get back home an hour earlier. So, there's always a great game within an hour and a half of my house somewhere, so I don't have to go very far on a regular basis.
I was going to wait and cover this later, Stormy, but let's go ahead and ask him. By now, if you haven't heard, Ravenwood, who was scheduled to play Overton tomorrow night in round one, at Ravenwood, they get a free night off because Overton, this morning, has been placed on a two-year probation for inciting a brawl or fisticuffs or whatever you want to call it, after the game with Antioch last Friday night. Murphy, can you tell us any more than that? We do know they're going to be on probation for 2 years, and that includes Antioch, too.
Yeah, that's true, and I hate that for both programs. It's one of those situations where nobody wins in a situation like that, and I know it had to be a tough season for Antioch, a second-year head coach there, and I don't believe they won a game all season long. So, frustrations tend to boil over a little bit. I don't know that there's been any long-standing rivalry between Overton and Antioch over the years, but it's just one of those situations that from time to time happens. I was telling you just before we came on the air, a little single-A school up in Carter County. UNACA is in the same situation. They're sitting out their second year of missing the playoffs, and they're in a four-team region. They had a guaranteed first-round game, but it wasn't going to happen, so Greenback gets a bye up there instead of Raven.
You just answered one of my questions I had down for Class 1A. When we get to that is, how come Greenback got a bye? So now we know the answer, Storm. How about that?
Well, what's even more funny, we were sitting the other night watching the Independence-Raywood game, and we kind of saw how the outcome was going to go, waited on the Brentwood Centennial game when we got the results. Marcus and I on there talked, what game we're going to do? We can do the Braidwood game and we could do the Brentwood game. And it came down, just to be honest with you, because we have more press room over at Brentwood. It's less crowd. I mean, just to be honest with you. And he said, let's just do that. And I said, oh, that'll be fine. Well, I'm thankful that's what we chose, because that would be kind of sad to go through all this work, get everything lined up, and then have to reevaluate, reload, and then that would set a good precedent.
You know, I was going to say this for 6A, but let's talk about that real quick, Murphy. Coach Matt Daniels alluded to this in his quote that I read this afternoon, but, you know, they had the field painted, enthusiasm was high, they've been practicing all week to prepare for Overton, and it's a moneymaker, let's be honest, that they won't get tomorrow night. But as a coach and a team, you've got momentum going. If you're Ravenwood, you had a good win last week over Independence, so I would think that if you're coaching players, you're really disappointed about this, because you're going to have to now take another week off before you go to round two.
Sure. Whatever momentum you had earned or whatever up until that point in time is just out the window, not to mention a pretty good gate, because the teams over here, every team over here in William County is very well represented when it comes to the stands on a Friday night, and I hate that. Some people said, well, you know, why didn't you let Ravenwood, what was the argument when you and Terry were texting back and forth?
We could play, maybe move McGavick up and then move someone to McGavick's spot.
But that, you know, you as a coach of those other teams, you spent the whole week preparing to play Pierce,
and
you wind up playing Paul.
Yeah.
So that's not fair either. So it's just a lose-lose situation for everyone involved. And another one of those responsibilities that coaches have in terms of not necessarily X's and O's, but character. And but sometimes you can't predict what a 16, 17-year-old kid's going to do to get a fire started.
And if you're Ravenwood, two things. They played last week against Independent as crisp a ball game as I've seen them play in about 3 years. I mean, they were spot on. I mean, they had Independence number from the kickoff, and they were ready to play. Then you look at it from a player standpoint, look at the seniors. One less game that they've got the opportunity to play.
Right.
I mean, you know, in the grand scheme of things, 20 years from now, is it going to make a difference? No, but in the short run, wait a minute, these guys have been practicing since, year-round preparing. It's one less game. They're going to get to suit up, put on those really good-looking uniforms, pop out in front of that big crowd, that home crowd, and according to Scott, I didn't look at it closely, but that would have been their last home game through the playoffs. Is that correct?
Probably not, because if you're the first, if you're number one, you're going to vote and win your first round game. You're going to be at home again the second round as well, because you're going to be playing a lower seeded team.
Okay.
In the second round.
They're a number two seed.
Oh.
Yeah. Because if they did win.
That's right. Brentwood was winner. Yeah.
Right. Then they'll take on the winner of the Cane Ridge Franklin game at Cane Ridge.
But if that turns out to be Franklin, then that game
is Ravenwood. That's true. Not to upset the Franklin folks.
Murphy Fair visits with us tonight. It's playoff week number one, first round of the playoffs. Murphy, I'll tell you what, let's just start as we do traditionally. I thought we'd start with Division II tonight and go through that real quickly here. And let's start with AAA. Brentwood Academy, get your thoughts on it. They've lost two out of the last three. And Stormy, we've talked about Brentwood Academy all year. As long as they had the lead and they're able to run the football, they've been able to do that. But it bit them in the foot against McCauley, if you remember, the interception to end the game. Stormy, I mean, Murphy, is this the same Brentwood Academy team that we've seen in the past years?
No, I don't think so. That's they didn't finish third with the same team that they had the last couple of years. They've had some incredible senior classes, as Cody White the last couple of years. And, you know, losing that game to McCauley and then falling to the NBA, all of a sudden they're in that same region or same quadrant, I guess you could say, of the playoff bracket. They should be able to get past Christian Brothers, but in all likelihood, they're going to have to turn right around and play NBA in the very next round. And that one could go either way. Wasn't that about a three- or four-point loss?
Overtime.
Yeah, three-point loss in overtime. 1 point, yeah.
In overtime,
So, that's top part of the bracket. And I, you know, Christian Brothers is not the same team they've had. Thomas McDaniel's had quite a few seniors the last couple of years as well. So, in two or three on this year's team, though, are Division I prospects. So it'll be interesting to see. I think that's got a chance to be an incredibly great ball game. I really do.
So BA winning last year over MBA, 28-14. And we talk about this every year, and I'm not going to dwell on it, but five teams have byes in AAA. Brentwood Academy is one of them. They won't play tomorrow night. Neither will MBA, neither will Christian Brothers, neither will McCauley, and neither will MUS. And they'll also have a bye the week before the championship game in Cookeville. So that means they've got two byes, and we talked about this, don't know if you remember, with Brian Rector, who we had 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he feels very strongly about this, too. And I don't know the answer. There's only 11 teams in that class, as we know, but do you feel the same that we've always felt about this? I mean, what can be done about this, if anything?
That's what the administrators and coaches, as I understand it, from Division II wanted. They wanted to let all of the teams in the largest classification go to the playoff. What their reasoning was behind that, I have no idea. TSSAA, since the split, has pretty well allowed Division II to, in order to keep them happy, to do whatever they want to do. And so, consequently, that's why we've got 11 teams going to the playoffs, and two of those could very easily be over, you know, which isn't good for anyone.
Right.
We've got one, maybe two teams in Division I that are going to the playoffs this year without a single win. And what's the reward there? You don't win a ball game, but yay, we're going to the playoffs, you know, anyway.
Well, let's give everybody a little participation trophy, you know, right, and make sure they get their snow cone after the ball game. We don't want their feelings to get hurt because they weren't worth a hoot.
Surprise in this class, AAA, in your opinion, Murphy, for the year. Was there a surprise here? Maybe, I don't know, McCauley be Brentwood Academy. Maybe that's a good choice. I don't know. Your thoughts?
Obviously, that did surprise an awful lot of people. I was, the way the coaches were calling it, I was a little bit surprised that MBA beat Brentwood Academy in the latter part of the season. McCauley, maybe a little bit of a surprise, but in my magazine, the majority of Division One or Division Two AAA schools picked McCauley over Brentwood Academy. So there again, I think it was because Ralph Potter had a lot more kids coming back that played key roles last year than did Cody White. But that, you know, it almost is like a junior college league, so to speak. There's a lot of NAIA and Division III schools that would love to have facilities that all 11 of those teams have. It's the best of the best, and it'll be interesting to see how all that shakes out. Obviously, we're not going to see what we've seen the last 2 or 3 years with NBA and BA in the finals, because one's going to knock the other one out. I think it'll be MUS and one of those two, although McCauley could slip in there and be the Cinderella team. You know?
So I guess you partially answered our question, who's going to be in Cookeville in that class?
Well, I think MUS is certainly the team out of the lower part of the bracket. I just don't see anyone there. They really got a sweet deal when you look who's on that lower side there. Obviously, McCauley's going to be a tough opponent for them, but I'm still not convinced. It may be a benefit to Brentwood Academy all the way, because I think MBA, Brentwood Academy, and McCauley are so close. Can any one of those beat the other two twice in the same season? I just don't see that happening.
It's Murphy Ferry with us tonight. It's round one playoffs in TSSAA tomorrow night across the state. Let's go to Class 2. We're talking Division 2 right now. Last year, Lausanne, no problem. I say that right, Stormy?
Lausanne.
I always want to say Lausanne. 41-13 over Notre Dame. But if you're a BGA fan, and you brought this to my attention a week or so ago, you got to feel pretty good. For some reason, Lausanne and CPA are both in that top bracket, and they're going to meet head-on in that semifinal game in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, obviously the West group's going to be in the western half of the bracket. Notre Dame and the rest of the East is going to be in the eastern part of the bracket. But here in the mid-state, they split them. Mm-hmm. And number one goes one way, and number two goes the other way. And I think I talked to Rock Batten a little bit before the game last week that they had with Lipscomb, and I said, you got to feel pretty good about the way all this, you don't have to worry about CPA or Lausanne. He said, no, but, you know, in typical coach speak, that Notre Dame team's awfully good, you know. But that's what I would expect. But I still think they got a much, much better draw.
Could be a dandy, though, in that semifinal, Lausanne and CPA. Boy, what a football game it'll be.
Is that going west? That game played west or east?
No, it'll be play. Oh, is that right? I don't know. I hadn't looked at that.
Which direction?
East.
Okay, Presiding. He didn't hear it.
I'm not sure what your question is.
Which direction will that game be played?
Well, CPA and Lausanne, if they meet, I think that'll be at CPA, according to the way I read this at the bottom, but it is fine print, so I could be wrong. But at any rate, that'll be a dandy.
But don't count ECS out. ECS played them except for Whitehaven, which is a 6A school, and ECS scored more points on Lausanne than anyone else this year.
Which was surprising. They handled BGA handily down there.
Very good football team. Jonas Rodriguez, who graduated from MBA, played at Princeton. He was Ricky Bauer's defensive coordinator at MBA and at Ensworth before he got the job at ECS a couple of years ago. I think Jonas is a great defensive coach, obviously. And this is just his second year, but he's done a crackerjack job over there. And ECS is going to be a factor in this thing before it's over, I think.
Interesting. It's been a while since they've been relevant.
Yeah, it really has. BGA Silverdale tomorrow night, Silverdale 5-5. So a game BGA should win and progress. And if they do, they'll play the winner of Knoxville Webb and Chattanooga Christian. That game would be played next Friday night, a week from Friday night.
Right. Yeah, I think that the Lausanne and CPA obviously are the cream of the crop.
Mm.
But, you know, last year FRA went down there and gave Lausanne a really difficult time for the first half before things kind of settled out. And I think Lausanne ended up scoring maybe a three-touchdown win or something like that. But I think ECS could be that team that shocks somebody. We'll just have to wait and see who that is.
Make a note on that one.
Let's cut through the chase on that, Stormy. So who's going to be in Knoxville in Division II Class AA? Cookeville, I'm sorry. Yeah, in Cookeville.
We're both a little fair to partly cloudy tonight, it looks like. I don't know. It's really tough. I think BGA has got a really good chance to go on from that eastern side. I'm just not real sure how good this Notre Dame team is. They've got a couple of standout players, but so does Rock. But on the other side, I don't know. Maybe it's my heart a little bit. I think the world of Ingo Martin. I think the world of Jonas Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. I think the world of Kevin LoCastro. Three really, really good young guys that are doing a great job. And LoCastro, if he was hearing this, would probably be writing his check because he's been around a long time. But nonetheless, that one's tough. That one's tough. On paper, you got to say BGA, CPA.
Yeah, that's what I would have said. I've watched them play a couple years in a row. I watched what they did to Independence at Independence last year and then what they did to Independence this year. They put 57 on them. That Ingo Martin's strong.
This is hard to believe, but CPA has 31 seniors. 31 seniors. Most Division II AA teams barely have 31 kids on their team.
Right.
And a lot of those kids played 2 years ago as sophomores. So the one big difference in all of this is the depth factor that CPA has, I think.
They had 9 seniors 3 years ago. When these kids were sophomores, they had 9 seniors that year.
Interesting to note, Murphy, they split it up every year. I realize that, but as far as the Blue Cross Bowl goes, on Thursday, it's 2A, 4A, 6A, and then they come back Friday for Division II, single A, double A, triple A, and then back Saturday for 1A, 3A, and 5A. Is there a reason they put Division II in the middle of Division I on Thursday and Saturday?
It's just part of the rotation. They take 1 year. If it started off 3A or 6A one day, 5A the next day, and then Division II the next, they just take that top team and move it to the bottom. And the next year, it's the other, you know, the next one coming.
Hey, Terry, let's go take a quick 2-minute break. Caitlin, let's take a quick 2-minute break. We're enjoying Murphy Fair, the guru, right here at Stroud's Barbecue. Come by. We've got a good crowd. People enjoying a lot of barbecue. If not, you can call them in advance, 615-595-0200. Place your order. They'll have it. Marshall and his crew have it ready to go when you come through Stroud's. Caitlin, 2 minutes. We're here at Coach's Corner at Stroud's Barbecue.
Right here in Williamson County, you can feed a family of four for $15.99 at Stroud's Barbecue. That includes 1 pound of pork or pulled chicken, buns, and a pint of a side item. Throw in a half gallon of tea or lemonade at Stroud's Barbecue. Right here in Williamson County, you can feed a family of four for $15.99. 615-595-0200. Open 7 to 8 Monday through Saturday and 7 to 6 on Sunday. That's Stroud's Barbecue right here in Williamson County.
Hey, this is Stormy Mitchell, and I want to cordially invite you to the church at West Franklin. You'll be greeted with a warm smile, firm handshake, some of the best coffee in town, excellent music, and some of the finest preaching this side of heaven. The church is located at 700 New Highway 96 West. If you can't make it, tune in to WAKM on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and listen to the church service. The preaching will be done by Dr. Matt Pearson, from the Church at West Franklin.
Matthews Team Sports is your full-service team sporting goods dealer. Online stores, in-house screen printing, top brands such as Adidas, Under Armour, and Gatorade. We handle teams from middle schools to universities and everything in between. Visit us at MatthewsTeamSports.com. Locally owned and operated, on-time delivery, and customer satisfaction are our top priority. Any sport, any season, any equipment, or any apparel need. Our team is ready to serve your team. Contact us now at MatthewsTeamSports.com.
Hey, want to make a good call when it comes to choosing a flooring company? Well, do what our sportscaster Stormy Mitchell did and call on the folks at Floors on Mallory Lane.
Every square inch of my flooring in my home has been redone by the great team over at Floors, whether it's the hardwood, whether it's the tile, whether it's the luxurious carpet that my kids come over and actually just go barefoot just to walk upstairs. They love it so much. 771-7669 is the number. If you don't call them, you're going to make a mistake. They're number one for a reason. Give them a call.
AM 950 WAKM Franklin. Available on the radio.net app.
We're back. It's Coach's Corner. We're talking playoff atmosphere here, playoff action. We're having a great time. Terry, it's always great to have Murphy Fair, the guru.
Terry, it absolutely is. But we're going to make him work tonight because he's not going to be able to eat his Stroud's fix until after the show, which is a little bit atypical.
Usually, that's right. He gets you about 4:15-ish. But you know what? Brought his bride with him tonight, and he's going to have some banana pudding, too. So I think that's a good deal.
I agree with you totally. And so let's mention this. Murphy, I'm sure you might have seen this afternoon. Mr. Football Semi Finalists were announced this afternoon, and we've got three players here in Williamson County from Fairview. Cam Harris-Lusk is one of the nominees. There's five nominees for the semifinals, by the way, in each class. In 5A from Page High School, guess who? Mr. Michael Burdick.
Mr. Everything,
yep.
Bert Burdick.
And from Independence in 6A, T.J. Sheffield. Three dandies right there for sure,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So actually, they got my vote.
Yep, no doubt about it. So they'll be on November 12th, Murphy, correct me if I'm wrong, on November 12th, I believe they'll announce the finalists, and they'll cut it down from 5 to 3 for each class. Does that sound right?
I think so. And then I believe this year that event is going to take place on a Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe some conflicts with the Titan schedule or something like that.
But we wish all of them well. Also, Devon Starling, a name you might recognize, that running back at Cane Ridge.
Yeah.
And he's another 6A nominee. And Grayson Trammell, the gunslinger from Shelbyville.
Oh,
and what player he is.
That kid can fling it.
Yeah, he can. Let's wrap up on Division II. Murphy, Class A, I don't think there's a whole lot of discussion here. Last year, Friendship Christian, of course, beat DCA in the finals. Davidson Academy and Fayette Academy, I mean, what else can you say? I just don't see anybody else knocking them off now. You tell me if I'm wrong.
No, I think the three teams you mentioned are two of those are going to be in the championship game, and I still like this Fayette Academy team a lot. They lost a tough one when they played Davidson. It was like, what, 64 to 58 or something crazy. the bounce of the ball one way or another, just a couple of plays making a difference in that kind of game. I don't know that overall they have quite as much talent as Davidson Academy does. I really expect to see those two teams, Fayette Academy and Davidson, in the finals again. I think it'd be a great matchup.
You got a good memory. That was 62-56, and I think the defense has just decided to stay home and take a nap that night. Of course, with the offenses each of those teams has, it's unbelievable.
They both got really good quarterbacks. The one at Davidson's going to Florida International. I'm not sure that the one at Fayette has made a commitment yet, but they both play with a lot of experience, both very heady, it's not their first season to start, so they've pretty much seen it all, and two really good coaches too. I think interestingly enough, the guy at Fayette Academy, Vic Shivers, graduated from the same high school that my wife did in Southern Mississippi, so we kind of feel there's a little connection there, I guess, anyway.
So I would say you're saying Fayette Academy and Davidson Academy in the Blue Cross Bowl.
I think so, and I've known John McNeil a long, long time, and he does a great job over there at Friendship, but I'm just not real sure that he has the horses to play with those two teams. We'll find out soon enough, I guess.
Soon enough. All right, let's move into Division I now. Let's start with 6A. As we got Murphy Fair with us tonight, he's going to tell us who's going to be in Cookeville, and of course he's going to be there. Murphy, you told us off air, I believe, you're going to be working 2A, 3A, and which one was it in Division II? 2, 3, and 4.
in Division II AA.
Okay. All right. And we'll look for that that hat you always have. That's a nice piece of equipment.
Is that a fedora or stis? Thank you. See? I've got close.
That was close.
I had to ask.
Last year, Maryville, 42-7 over Cane Ridge in the Blue Cross Bowl in Class 6A. Maryville beat Oakland earlier this year, way back, week number 2, 24-21. They beat them last year in the semifinals, 31-28. Is this the year that Oakland finally knocks down the door in that upper bracket?
It might be. It might be. I think what if they you've got the GMLSAA bracket there. If they get in the semis, is that at Murfreesboro?
Yes, it is.
It can make a difference. The tough place to play, but obviously Maryville is too. But I think Kevin Creasy got to be licking his chops just a little bit, knowing that if he gets that far, and that's a big if. But I still think that, like most everyone else, that's what they're looking for is a Murfreesboro, Oakland, Maryville, Rebel semifinal round matchup. And I think some of the kids at Oakland have been nursing some injuries and all, and with the route that Oakland has, Ross View is actually an overachieving team this year. They didn't have a whole lot, but they played very, very well and very, very hard. I don't think Oakland will have any trouble with them, and I'm not sure they'll have much trouble with the winner of the Riverdale-Hendersonville game. So they've got a pretty easy route to take to get to at least the quarterfinals, and even at that, it's going to probably be, I don't know, that Lebanon-Blackman game really intrigued me, because I think Lebanon could be the spoiler in that one.
Who is the surprise team in Class 6A, in your opinion, this season, one way or the other?
Houston High School in Memphis, and Stormy knows all about that. An offshoot several years ago from Germantown.
That's
true. Just think if they had elected to build a 3,500 student school like Collierville did, think about those two teams being those two schools, groups of kids,
right,
together under the same roof. That'd be kind of scary because Germantown's 10-0.
Yeah.
Houston's 9-1. Their only loss was to Germantown. Two pretty good teams, but their new coach at Houston, a former Mustang player himself, James Thomas, has done an incredible job. I think some people thought that he would be able to turn the tables, but certainly not in his rookie season. He's done a really good job over there.
I remember you telling me back in the summer that you really liked this Germantown team a lot. I know you still do. Did they come out of that Houston game and make it to the semifinals?
Well, I think so. They beat them 2 or 3 touchdowns the first time they played, if I'm not mistaken. Germantown did lose their top defensive back a couple of weeks ago to an injury, and he won't be on the field. But two really young coaches at Germantown and Houston will be going at it. I think that'll be a really interesting ball game for sure.
By the way, Germantown has lost one ball game in the last 2 years, and that was to White Station last year in the playoffs, first round.
Round two.
Yeah, that was a big upset, if I recall.
It really was, because I think they had played like maybe week 9 or 10.
Right
there at the end of the regular season, and I don't know if it was overconfidence on the part of some of the players or what. I know Coach Smith knew that they were in for a battle, but White Station not near the team this year that they were last year.
And just for good measure, Germantown beat Whitehaven. Murphy, I'm sure you know this, 37-19 on Friday in week 11, so that right there tells you. And they could meet again, though, I believe in the quarterfinals, if that's that right, if Whitehaven were to beat Houston, which is a big deal.
Yeah, but Lausanne beat Whitehaven also. As did North Little Rock, Arkansas. It's odd to see Whitehaven in the playoffs with 3 losses, you know.
That's true. And whoever comes out of there, Stormy, closer to home, do we have a new guest on the show here tonight?
Oh, we do. I tell you, he's a big fat-headed.
I saw that in the press box at Franklin 2 weeks
he's
ago.
He's just one big fat-headed person is all I can say.
Do you want to comment on who that might be?
No, I think anonymity is...
Anonymous?
Anonymity at its best. All I can say is Michelle Paul. I thought you were my friend.
Murphy, it's a shame. It's a good likeness.
But wait, the worst part we're discussing is enough. It's a big fat head. It's my big fat head.
I was going to say, you won't tell the audience what we're talking about.
And Darren Jones, the marketing director at Franklin, had a made for the entire team, and they had one made for me the other night, and they did it during the ball game. The funniest part was Darren comes up and he goes, you know, yours is the only one we didn't have to enlarge. I failed to find the humor in there. Everybody else is laughing here but me.
I lost my train of thought.
Well, thanks, Michelle. You're a doll. Thanks a lot.
Michelle does make her appearance known here at Strauss's Motor. Well, you can see 4 for 15.
I've lost my appetite.
Yep. We'll get it back.
All right, we were talking.
I know, I got an ice storm. Okay, we're talking closer to home.
I'm the one with ADHD.
Well, I'm older than you, so I have other excuses too. But, Murphy, let's talk about it. We've got four teams from Region 6 that are in action tomorrow night. Well, I take that back. There's three of the four teams. We talked about Ravenwood, who won't be playing tomorrow night. They got a bye as a result of the suspension with Overton. But let's talk about this Cane Ridge-Franklin game. Donnie Webb's got his team turned around. They won four in a row, and that's a very good defensive football team. So Cane Ridge has got to be ready tomorrow night.
I can't help but think, Coach Eddie Wood, that Cane Ridge is a little worried about this. Donnie Webb is a defensive genius. When you talk to other coaches around the state, has been for a long, long time. And if he can find the personnel and they do the job that he hopes they're able to do, Cane Ridge may have some problems. I think if I'm Cane Ridge, there's probably a couple of other teams in that region I'd rather play than Franklin right now.
John, we sort of talked about that today on our back and forth. Franklin has got to, they want to keep it in a low-scoring game, I would think, because their offense is not in shape to go, you know, to be in a 45-40 game. That's just a fact.
No.
But the way their defense has played lately, that could happen.
Well, you're going to see a lot of the Wildcat with Matt Gocka. You're going to see Donnie keeps it pretty close to the vest. Their defense has played exceptionally well this year. Not giving up a lot of points, but as we said, I think the most points they scored, what I call with a legitimate opponent, was about 28, and that was against Centennial. It was 28-7 that night. So against Cane Ridge, I just don't know which Cane Ridge team will show up.
Well, the winner will take on Ravenwood next week, and that would be a dandy either way you look at it, because it's Franklin. That would be something, Franklin at Ravenwood. That would be a big-time neighborhood battle, you might say.
Where do you think the Ravenwood coaches are going to be tomorrow night?
Yeah, I just made that comment today. At Cane Ridge, do you think?
You're not home watching America's Funny Home America's Funny Home Video.
And Stormy and I were talking about Ravenwood before you arrived here tonight, but this is a football team playing very well right now, and they've got a chance. You know, remember, they lost to Cane Ridge, Stormy, last year on that kickoff return in the quarterfinals.
Kickoff with a minute, like 40 to go. They just scored, gone up. It was, 18-12, and they short kicked it, and the kid got a couple blocks, and Matt Daniels, he said, I'll never do that again to the
And, you know, if Cane Ridge makes it to the semis, they would have beaten three Williamson County teams in all likelihood to get there.
Right, that's true. Stormy knows the game, and the way he described Ravenwood last week, they're playing their best football right now, obviously, and that's what every coach strives for, to get a little bit better every week throughout the regular season and be ready to take on anyone once November rolls around.
They play to perfection.
Speaking of not playing their best football, Scott Blades Independence Eagles laid a big egg last week against Ravenwood, and they've got a big-time battle on their hands tomorrow night at Smyrna. Smyrna's 7-3. I believe they won four or so in a row. Matt Williams' team is really playing good football right now.
Yeah, it's going to be a very emotional game on the Smyrna sideline. Coach Williams' wife has got a brain tumor. And they've been treating that for several weeks now. And next week or the week after, they have an appointment at MD Anderson in Houston. And so, like I said, a lot of emotion on that sideline. Our obviously thoughts and prayers go out to Matt and Shannon, two really outstanding young people, and I hate that. So it'll be interesting, you know, on that side. It could be a real plus. As far as the emotional side goes, it could be one of those deals where you're just so concentrated on trying to get your wife taken care of and all that sort of stuff. I wouldn't wish that on anyone, but it's part of the equation. It's something you can't leave out.
I appreciate you mentioning that. That's a touching scenario. And
you know, I think I heard somewhere this week, Stormy Murphy, that he may or may not be at the game tomorrow night. That was at least at the first of the week, it was a little bit undecided. So I don't know where that stands right now. You?
Well, I had not heard that, but it would not surprise me.
Brentwood hosting McGavick, Stormy, the game you and Marcus will be doing tomorrow night on AM 950 at 6:30 with the pregame. Shouldn't be much of a challenge. Jay Gore brings his McGavick team 3-7 to Brentwood High School.
But they've played a couple of teams a whole lot. The record is not great. And when you look at most of the scores, it's not great. They've lost some players to Cane Ridge. They've lost some players to other schools in Metro. But Jay's a good coach, and McGavick has either scared or beaten some teams that they weren't supposed to. And I think that's probably Ron Crawford's biggest concern right now is if Brentwood's Bruins play Brentwood Bruins game, they'll be fine. But if a couple of players are lackadaisical, if they think this is going to be an easy game, it may not be quite so easy.
And Brentwood is still mourning the loss of Lucas Davis, the big left tackle. We're missing that. Also, we got the word early last week that there was a transfer. Chase Bishop went from Brentwood to Independence, and that's two starters, two key starters, and you just wondered how that was going to affect them. Centennial played them to the vest, lost on a literally, Brentwood scored with 12 seconds to go to win that ball game at home. You wonder how much of a gut check, mostly, it's really going to be for Brentwood to tee it up and to play, as Murphy said it so succinctly, Ron Crawford football. Because when they play Ron Crawford football, we could see them literally over here going to Cookeville.
Yeah, and that was such an emotional game over Centennial last week, as you mentioned, Stormy. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see tomorrow night. 6A and Cookeville, Murphy, did you come out with two finalists in 6A?
Let me look at my list.
I
still like Germantown, and I'd have to go with Oakland. Them are Maryville, but I think with it being played in Murfreesboro, that may tip the scales just enough in Murfreesboro's, Oakland's favor to put Patriots back in the title game.
So you think if Germantown makes it to the semis, and let's say a Ravenwood or Cane Ridge up here, you still say Germantown?
But wouldn't it be a hoot if it was Germantown and Houston? Can that happen?
No.
Okay, that's right.
They play in the quadrant.
That's right.
Yeah, no. They will play here on November the 18th.
That would be a quarterfinal matchup,
right.
I guess, right?
I think just because Cane Ridge has been there recently, you've got to put them in on the other semifinal line.
Well, I don't mind telling you, I have already made plans to be in Memphis on the 23rd. I don't know where I'm going to stay. I don't know which game I'm going to call, but it's going to be somebody from Wichita County.
Will you have time for your Thanksgiving turkey before you leave town?
Of course. I'm going to. We already got that lined up. Talked menu last night with the kids. And we're great check.
Well, you'll be there. If you look at that
line. Hey, I mean, that's Thursday. This is Friday, and that's a whole 24-hour. I drive Memphis 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah, you're hauling. 5A. Don't we walk out on a break, by the way? Are we good?
Well, we're good. Let's keep going.
Okay. Last year, Catholic 45-28 over Beach. Murphy, I think we would agree those two teams, even though they're in the playoffs again, they're not as strong as they were last year.
No, I think we're going to see two teams we haven't seen in a while. Now, who those two are, obviously, there's a lot of options out there. I talked to Joe Gaddis a couple of weeks ago, and he's kind of hoping it's a Oak Ridge Henry County ball game. Wouldn't that be a hoot if you're a Joe Gaddis fan? Two teams he's recently coached. So that would be interesting for sure.
You look at that top, Fulton over Oak Ridge last week in week 11, and they've got if things fall right, they're going to be playing. They could face them again in the quarterfinals in that top bracket.
That's true, and I think those are probably the two teams to pick to go to the third round there. And it was a close ball game. Oak Ridge made a couple of silly mistakes in the second half, and things just didn't work out. But it was one of those back-and-forth kind of games. I checked the score three or four times during the evening, and it looks like it could have gone either way.
What about in the top up there, David Crockett, 10-0, are they somebody that we should keep an eye on? Could that be a dark horse, or is that just an aberration of extreme East Tennessee in 5A?
I don't know. They've got a new first-year coach, and I'm trying to remember where it was. He went to school at one of the directional schools, Sullivan East, Sullivan North, Sullivan South, one of those, and had been coaching out of state, maybe in Indiana. I'm not sure. That may not be right. Maybe Illinois. But anyway, he's done a great job in his very first year. I'm wondering if he's a spread kind of guy. But generally speaking, 10-0, 9-1, 8-2, any classification in the Tri-Cities might get you to the second or third round, and that's about it. And then those teams have to start lining up with Knoxville area teams. And traditionally, they've just not done very well. I mean, Dobbins been it a couple of times, went into the playoffs at 10-0 and lost in the first round to somebody, Farragut, or, you know, somebody like that in the Knoxville area.
Who was your surprise team in 5A, either good, bad, or ugly?
Well, let me flip to that page. It would be Cherokee High School. And that's Marty Uverard's alma mater.
Really?
They were picked to win the region. Then they got a quarterback injured for the rest of the season. Then their number two quarterback got injured for the rest of the season. And then their number three quarterback got injured. I mean, they lost three quarterbacks in the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. They wound up 1-9 and picked to win the region and ended up in last place, if I'm not mistaken. Just a tough loss there for sure.
Two teams close to home, Murphy. Page takes on Hillwood at Page High School tomorrow night. Also, it'll be Summit traveling out to Beach in what's a rematch. Of course, they lost a good ball game last year in the quarterfinals. Beach, I think 4 points. Could we potentially see a Page Summit rematch in week two?
Well, I think that's a pretty good bet. I really do. I went to Page a couple of weeks ago when they played Shelbyville. Holy smokes. And I saw Page play in the Jamboree at Oakland High School in Murfreesboro back in August and was really impressed with the Page quarterback. And I know you talked about the kid from Shelbyville, but the quarterback from Page really was the shining star that night. And number 10, the receiver.
Michael Burdick.
If it was in the zip code, he was going to catch it.
Burdick is the most versatile player I've seen in a long time.
After a Shelbyville score, they came back first and 10 from the 20 and 80 yards later in one play to him, and it nullified that previous touchdown by the Golden Eagles.
Well, he's the Mr. Football semifinalist from Page, Michael Burdick. That's who you're talking about. And Stormy, we've talked about this all year. He makes something happen just about every game, whether it's a kickoff return or whatever, because if you look at the stats, Page has been outgained probably in 8 out of their 10 games all year long, but they find a way to get it done, and you got to take your hat off to Charles Rathbone. First regional championship since 1999 at Page High School, and they're number 4 in the state this week. So I think they'll beat Hillwood, and they'll face maybe Summit next week.
And he did it on the night after his grandmother passed away, and her funeral, I think, was the next day or the day after, and obviously he had a lot of stuff going through his mind, too. But it'll be interesting to see this Hillwood team. Their quarterback, Kurt Page's son, has produced some incredible numbers. But if your daddy's the quarterback, you can kind of help that, or is the coach, I mean, you can kind of help make that happen. I really look for that to be a pretty one-sided ball game. Kid can throw it, and obviously has learned from one of the best, so it'll be interesting to see how that works out.
Does the Page kid have Kurt Page's son? Does he have a chance to play at the next level?
I'm not sure. I cannot honestly say. I'm not sure he's of his size.
Right.
And that sometimes that's so unfair. I know offensive linemen are 6'5 and 6'6 now, and they say, well, if the quarterback's not 6'5 or 6'6, they can't see over it. But I don't think that's a legitimate argument, because quarterbacks are so mobile now, they can find somebody downfield. That guy's not 3 feet in front of them all the time. So I don't know. But yeah, I think a Page Summit repeat could be a good game.
Stormy, you've done Summit a couple of times, I guess. I guess a lot depends on which Summit team is going to show up. It's sort of been like a Jekyll and Hyde offensively for Brian Coleman's team this year.
Well, remember, they're playing a freshman quarterback that Destin Wade did, and his brother Devin also played running back. The young Prince George Odomegwu, great running back. Where Summit has been uncharacteristically, I won't say weak, less than stellar, would be on their defensive front line. They've been porous there, and they've allowed a lot of big runs. And you get a scoring match, Summit will lose. If it's a low scoring ball game, 24 and under, they will beat your brains out.
Murphy, whoever comes out of that part of the bracket into the quarterfinals is going to play somebody out of the Gallatin, Shelbyville, Lincoln County, Hillsborough mix right there, which could shape up as a great quarterfinal game when it happens.
Hillsborough's really coming on strong, and they've been playing with one arm behind their back all season, not being able to play at home. That's going to be the case again next year as well. But Coach Maurice Fitzgerald's got some athletes, and if you don't stay at home and do your job, they're going to burn you. And you cannot forget about Hillsborough being in that part of the bracket.
They've been on the road all year.
They have. By the way, you asked me, and I mentioned Cherokee being the biggest disappointment. You know where Page was picked to finish this year in my magazine by coaches in the league?
You mean in this region?
Mm-hmm. The region. They were picked to finish third. And here they end up beating everybody in the region that they play.
Wow. Henry County Kirby at the bottom, it looks to me like. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And I really like the Kirby coach. He's a pretty neat guy. Chester Flowers Jr. coached at Melrose several years ago. And they only kept him a couple of years, but he's in his second stint at Kirby. He's got a quarterback that's gone to Louisville. That's some pretty tall timber right there, just to say Louisville wants me. And but they got a couple of other kids that are D1. There's a good bit of D1 interest among those other kids. So, but Henry County's awfully good. I saw them against Germantown, and that game could have gone either way. Germantown ended up winning it, but it was one of those back-and-forth kind of things. And Henry County's a special place to go because of all the tailgating, but it's the only high school that plays football in the county. And on Friday night, everybody that gives a hoot about football is in that stadium, and it's a rocking place.
You don't have to worry about stopping at a restaurant to eat when you go to Henry County for a game.
No, most places I don't. That's part of why I pick where where I go.
Most of them are closed. Well, I remember the last, was it 3 years ago, and Henry County came over to play Centennial. Unfortunately, back-to-back week, how it worked out the schedule and the playoffs. And at 4 o'clock, there was 500 people from Henry County lined up to try to get in. There wasn't anybody at Centennial that even opened the gate.
They were mad because they couldn't get in the gate at 4 o'clock.
Well, there wasn't anybody to contest them, and they couldn't get the bathroom. It was almost hysterical.
And now you have a Henry County product coaching Centennial.
Yes, you do, Mr. Matt Christie. You really do.
Okay, Murphy 5A, who's going to be in Cookeville for the championship?
I really think it's going to be Henry County on the west side. As far as the east side is concerned, there's two or three teams in Knoxville if they get hot at the right time. I've been a little disappointed in Knoxville West. They've got three or four kids in court, including Jeff Francis' son, on their football team, and he's a great quarterback. But I think it could once again be Fulton and Oak Ridge in that quarterfinal game, and whoever wins that one, I think they go on to play in Cookeville. But I really like Henry County on the west.
All right, you heard it from the guru, Henry County on the west side.
That kind of breaks my heart. I'm looking at Page in the same quadrant. I'm thinking, you know, it'd be nice to get
well.
But I see Page, hopefully, if they win, end up maybe having to play Hillsborough. But even a Hillsborough-Shelbyville game a couple weeks forward would be a fantastic ball game.
Stormy, that leads into a good question. Murphy, I'm looking at this. Stormy, I'm glad you mentioned that. If Hillsborough made it out to the quarterfinals, they're technically the home team. In other words, if Page played Hillsborough, but they can't play a home game. What would they do then?
In all likelihood, that would be at Hillwood. I think they played three of their games at Hillwood this year, and they kind of count that as their home field, if you will, this year. It's fairly close geographically.
Right.
And, you know, if things go the way we've talked in the last 10 minutes, Hillwood out in the first round, and so that field's available.
Also, they played at Vanderbilt. They played at Centennial Golden on a Saturday afternoon and won 30-6. So
yeah, exactly.
They like the Vandy field.
Murphy Fair business with us. We're working our way through the brackets here, and if you've got you want to pack a picnic or whatever to take with you tomorrow, come by Stroud's. They'll fix you up if you're headed out to a game tomorrow night. Lots and lots of football. 4A Murphy, Greenville last year, 54-13 over Springfield. I just don't see. We talked about this in the summer when you were here on the show way back, and I would say Greenville, but get your opinion on this. Anderson County, we said those are probably your two best teams, but I got to tell you something. I look at Anderson County and that week number two showdown with Elizabethan could be a little bit of a challenge for Anderson County.
Elizabethan gave Greenville all they wanted, back in the early part of the season. That was pretty close until right there at the end, and Greenville kind of pulled away. That'll be interesting, and if that ends up happening and Anderson County survives, then they got Greenville the next week. That's two pretty tough back-to-back ones, but I still think, although this year's Greenville-Anderson County game would come in Clinton, just off of I-75 over there. So that's probably where I'm going to go third round of the playoffs, because it's a little closer to Anderson County than it is to Greenville.
Both those quarterbacks, so semifinalist nominee for Mr. Football, just like last year. So two very good football teams.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, both of those quarterbacks are destined to be in the East-West All-Star game too.
And I ask this question every year, and I always love to hear your answer. Why is Greenville such a perennial power?
Part of it has to do with Kane Ballard. A really good coach. He's got a great strength coach and conditioning program up there. I mean, there's some 5A and 6A schools that are not regimented. I've seen that one in person when I was up there making pictures of some of the kids for my magazine. It's an open zone school. So you don't necessarily have to live in the city of Greenville to go to school there. And that's why the other three or four schools in the county are not real strong, because if there's a great football player, he's going to play for the Green Devils.
Murphy, Nolensville, the first senior class this year, what a great job Paul Derrick has done over there. We had him on the show, just an outstanding young man. Stormy, I think we would agree to that. And
yeah.
And they only lost to Maplewood by 7 points a couple of weeks ago. And if things work out, they could play in round two again against Maplewood.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if that region sweeps tomorrow night. It's just Tullahoma's very good. Nolensville's good. Marshall County, the fourth place team, had both of those teams on the ropes for a while. Thomas Osteen does such a great job over there and doesn't really have the big name players like he's had in the past, but he still gets it done. He's a great coach and has a great staff. And I, that other region is just not as strong as it traditionally has been. So, and John Olive, after going 0-10 two straight years in Tullahoma, has got a really good football team too.
That's got to be, to me, the biggest turnaround of anybody around here. And I didn't see that coming. Well, can you explain what happened there?
Well, he had a lot of young kids. I mean, even at a 4A, 5A school, the talent pool runs dry every once in a while. And that's what happened. They lost their last two or three games. 3 years ago, lost all 10 2 years ago, lost all 10 last year, but John never gave up on it, and fortunately the powers that be never gave up on John, so consequently it turned out well for them. It's going to be a rematch, lots of rematches in round two and three for that.
Who comes out of that part of the bracket? Mexico Cookville, that top bracket.
The top bracket, Greenville, I think, although Anderson County at home, you know, it's they've got turf there too, so that's no real advantage for Greenville, that sort of thing. And then the next quadrant, I really think, talent-wise, Maplewood's the team that comes out of there. But, you know, it'd be interesting to see them in Greenville. And I'm guessing, is it the lower part of the bracket? So would that game be in Nashville?
Yes, it would, my friend.
That's from playing on a beautiful turf field to, if it rains that week, a mud pie.
Playing in the quagmire.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if that happened.
Maybe the lower part of that bracket, Springfield and Jackson Southside could have a key game there in round two if you look down that far. And then, of course, on the very bottom, Dyersburg seems to be the cream of the crop in that part of the bracket.
Dyersburg's really good. They've got turf, too. They're another one of those West Tennessee communities with artificial surfaces on their field. I kind of like Dyersburg to come out of that bottom part. I know Springfield's a defending runner-up, and there's two pretty good Jackson teams, too. I would have thought Springfield until last week when Northside beat Southside. Nobody saw that one coming. They were battling for the regional championship. Northside's got a new coach. The coach at Southside, this is only his second, maybe third year. Northside's been a really, really big surprise over there this year.
Yeah, that caught my eye too. So Greenville and Dyersburg in the championship game, in your opinion?
For now.
He always has a way to snick around, doesn't he?
We've always noticed when Murphy has banana pudding, he changes his mind about
it. But he hasn't had it yet, Stormy. That's the thing.
But I know, but I think he's already got it on his brain because we got only 1 second left.
I know we need to take a break, but yeah. Look down in that Dyersburg portion of the bracket, Murphy. Five teams out of the eight have losing records. 3-7, 3-7, 6-4, 3-7, and 4-6.
0-9.
I did forget 0-9. Above all, yeah, Memphis East,
they've changed that school. It is now what do they call it? Anyway, it's
vocational.
It's accelerated engineering, math, science, all that. It's an acronym, you know, STEM. It's a STEM school.
Okay.
And so consequently, their enrollment is less than half what it was 2 years ago. They'll probably be a 3A and maybe even a 2A school these next 2 years.
Tony, I wonder what that would do to Memphis East as far as basketball classification.
Well,
that happens.
First of all, they get all their players come from Lester Community, which is the little community just to the north of there. Penny Hardaway is no longer the coach there. He's at University of Memphis. I don't know.
But if it's a STEM school, then you've got to have a certain academic score to get in there.
And that would
totally go away. Someone in Memphis told me Memphis East is always going to be where it is. Memphis East is a geographic landmark, a great history. And
yeah.
Tell them what that property is.
I remember playing in that old gym, the beautiful old gym, and it was a newer school than Messick. Messick was the old one. So let's do this. We need to take a quick break. Keelan, let's go in and take 2 minutes, top of the hour break. Let's get 2 minutes. We'll come back, finish up our last segment of Coach's Corner with Murphy Fair here at Crowds Barbecue.
Hello, this is Garth Bolden with Gateway Tire and Service Center. Located on Cool Springs Boulevard in McEwen Drive in Franklin, Tennessee, Gateway Tire and Service Center is your local Yokohama tire dealer, and we're proud to have served Williamson County for over 25 years. Take advantage of our full service center, including our new custom shop. Give us a call at 615-771-7080 for all your car needs, including Yokohama tires, custom wheels, and more. Gateway Tire and Service Center, your local Yokohama tire dealer.
Make pain a thing of the past with help from our friends at the Bone and Joint Institute of Tennessee, Tennessee's destination for outstanding orthopedic care. From aging or overuse to a traumatic accident or sports-related injury, they'll be there for you every step of the way to help improve your range of motion, mobility, and quality of life. Put your trust in the hands of experts and visit boneandjointtn.org or call 615-791-2630 to make your appointment today.
Hey everybody, this is Stormy Mitchell, the sports team, and sometimes change is necessary. And recently I made a change in all my insurance needs by switching over to Farm Bureau. My agent and good friend Scott Murphy handled all the details. And in the process, I was able to save even more money on my auto and home insurance. Scott Murphy's Farm Bureau agency is located at 1010 Murfreesboro Road, Suite 126 in the Maple Woods Shopping Center. His local number is 615-794-1104. He's highly decorated with Farm Bureau. He's on the Honor Council, President Award winner, and top 10 agency in the state of Tennessee. For your insurance needs, call my good friend and great supporter of high school sports, Scott Murphy, at 615-794-1104, and be sure to tell them Stormy sent you.
Back at Stroud's, having a great time at Coach's Corner. It's Thursday afternoon. It's dark. It's been rainy, but we're having a really good time. It's a scary thought. Murphy's, I'm sorry, he's had to sit there and look at that scarecrow of a picture, and we'll put it on Facebook, and everybody will see it later, and they'll go, Mitchell has got the big head, and that's not funny.
Stormy, is that a replica of somebody we know, or what?
Terry, let's not detract from the playoff discussions. I think that would be inappropriate this time.
All right, Murphy, fair business with us. We'll try to get serious here for 30 more minutes. Murphy, real quick, before we still like class 3, 2, and 1, tell us a little bit about the All-Star game, and I know you've been working on that and preparing, as you always do, and I assume it's still the week after the Blue Cross Bowl?
That's right. The game will actually be on Pearl Harbor Day this year. This is Friday, December 7th. We're kind of excited about that because we're also just a stone's throw from Fort Campbell, and once again, the 88 players selected to play in the game will have an opportunity to experience something at Fort Campbell, where they're still kind of trying to figure out what that's going to be. But hopefully, by the weekend or first part of the week, all 88 names will be announced. I think a few have jumped the gun a little bit on Facebook. Their coach is proud that they've been picked to play in a game like that. But I will tell you that the head coach of the East team is Bryson Rosser, who is the head coach at Knoxville Central and former TSU quarterback not very many years ago. So he's pretty excited about what's going on there. And then Charlie Lansville, head coach at Columbia Academy, is the head coach of the West team. So we've got some really good kids, about 8 or 10 kids from Memphis involved in the thing. Got kids from Chattanooga, Knoxville, here in Nashville also. But Williamson County is very well represented too. So hopefully you all can share that with your listeners next week.
Well, you all do a great job with that. It's a really good cause and an exposure for a lot of kids that maybe are on the bubble about being able to have an opportunity.
That's one of the main reasons for the ball game, is to give some of those tweeners, if you will, an opportunity to showcase their skills. And last year we had coaches from right at 24 1AA, Division II, Division III, NAIA schools there watching practice sessions. And those kids have one more chance. And every year we end up helping kids sign a scholarship offer that maybe didn't have one entering that week.
And that's what it's all about.
Certainly is.
Murphy Fair visits with us. Speaking of Charlie Lansdale, real quick, Murphy, I think most after this coming realignment or whatever you want to call it, most of the Division II schools that are still playing, no, private schools, excuse me, that are still playing Division I are going to be in Division II, and Columbia Academy is one of those. And I believe Rock Batten told us when he was on the show a couple of weeks ago that they will end up in Class A of that when they come into Division II. Does that sound right to you?
I think that's right. There's still a lot to be determined in terms of how many classes are they going to have. Of course, all of that won't transpire until 2 years from now, but still a lot of unanswered questions about who's going to be paired with what. For example, if they decide to go to two classes, Lipscomb Academy would end up with the Brentwood Academy Ensworth group, and they're just not ready to play at that level, and it would almost put an end to football at Lipscomb Academy if that happened. But still a lot of things have to happen between now and 2 years from now before we figure that. But I think virtually there was only three or four that didn't make the change these past 2 years. And Knoxville Catholic's already getting ready to probably be in the same group with Brentwood Academy and McCauley and that bunch. So it'll be interesting for sure.
Playoff action starts tomorrow night. Class 3A, let's take a look. We're working our way through the different classifications. Gas taxes and Alcoa. I mean, that's all. What else can you say?
Well, people have asked me who I thought the best 2-3A teams in the state were, and I've said Alcoa's first team and Alcoa's second team. You know, they've just got it all together. Covington's run the table again. They're 10-0. I don't think the Chargers have played the schedule that Alcoa has, and Gary Rankin's just got so much depth over there. They're an open zone school, as are Maryville and Greenback and Greenville. And when you're going to attract kids that are not only not in your zone, but not even in your county, it obviously gives them a big edge. And, you know, they talk about the split was to level the playing field somebody told me the other day that I wasn't aware of this, that Louisiana divides every class that they have into two groups. One of those is true public schools where you live in the zone and there's no STEM school, there's no charter school or whatever. And they're in one group of 6A, for example. And everybody else, be it private, be it STEM schools, be it charter schools, whatever, they're in another group. And they've got that for every classification. Now, if you want to create a level playing field, then that's what you do.
That seems very legitimate. Why or how can that be implemented in TSSAA, or why is it not in Arnie Nobancher for the listeners here?
Well, part of it's geography. There seems to be a movement right now on in 2 years to go to four classes.
Yes,
for all sports.
And you're hearing that.
If I play you in football, I play you in soccer and in golf and
what?
Everything else. But even that is very difficult to find situations where teams are not traveling 150 or 200 miles for a district or regional ball game. I'm so football oriented, I tend to forget about the basketball and spring sports. It's maybe a difficult thing to not get home until midnight on a Friday night for a football game. It is. If it's a Tuesday night basketball,
right?
And you're not, and you've got to be at school at 7:30 the next morning. So lots of problems, and a lot of them created because of geography.
Maybe let's talk about real quick here. We'll move on, but our good friend Chris Hughes over at Fairview, he's got White's Creek tomorrow night. Another great year for the Yellow Jackets. If they win that one, it looks like they may take on East Nashville the following week in round two, and possibly if you kind of look ahead, Pearl Cone. But it seems like every year they run into that buzzsaw, whether it be Pearl Cone, Stratford from Region 5, just about it, or the other region.
Yeah, you pretty well called it. Chris has got some players that can play at those other schools. I don't know if he's got enough of them or not. It'll be interesting to see. I can see Fairview going around maybe to East Nashville's awfully good. Brian Waite's a good friend of mine, and he's done a great job over there in East Nashville. That whole area is just changing on a daily basis so much. But I was at the Pearl Cone East Nashville game about 3 weeks ago, and it was just such a great occasion. There were 3,500 people at that ball game.
Wow.
They were standing two and three deep all the way around the fence. Two predominantly black programs with a great history. East Nashville's history goes way back, but there was a gap in there for a couple of decades, I guess, before they finally got a new stadium at their school and that kind of thing. But it's kind of neat to see that many fans, that many black fans at one ball game together. Those are rapidly turning into community schools, neighborhood schools.
That's great.
It's kind of neat.
I think I was hearing another show after that ball game. I understand you had some type of fish sandwiches. Is that what they're...
That's when they're at Pearl Cone.
This was
at East Nashville.
Okay. I'm thinking about food.
I was disappointed that it wasn't at Pearl Cone because of the fish sandwich thing, but it was neat seeing what all took place that night at East Nashville.
So can Chris use this? Can this be his year?
I don't think so. He might be able to play with East Nashville, but this Pearl Cone team is, they could give Alcoa some problems. I don't know that they will, but athletically, they can line up.
They dominated East Nashville in that game, right?
Oh, they did. It wasn't pretty at all. I felt bad for Brian Waite. He tried an onside kick and it worked, but it bounced right out of his kid's hand in midair and was caught by a Pearl Cone player, and it went downhill after that.
So are you predicting a Alcoa-Covington rematch?
I think Pearl Cone they get. I really do.
The Firebirds.
Well, that would
and
take
the Tornadoes. Place.
That would be a semifinal game, I believe, right?
It would.
And you know, the game, their regular season schedule out of their region, they play NBA, and I mean, they play some really good teams that kind of... diminishes their overall record, but you got to look at who they play. That plays some good good schedule.
Two losses were the NBA and the CPA, two teams that may be playing in Cobalt too.
Last 2A, last year, Murphy, Union City, 27-21 over China. Union City, of course, I won't say this too loud with Johnny behind me, but 5-5. I don't know if you call that struggling, but I guess sure. But, you know, you're upper bracket. You got Meigs, County, Tyner, two very good teams. And you're going to Watertown tomorrow night, and they're in that upper bracket. So what's it look like in that top part of the bracket?
First time Watertown's been undefeated, I think, and I think I heard someone say 42 years. Gavin Webster's done an incredible job over there. You know, for some of our older listeners, they might remember a name, Brownie Robbins, who coached at Watertown back in the 50s and 60s. Quite a colorful character, as I understand it. I never did get to meet him. Then his son, Bill Robbins, coached at Watertown for a long, long time. Gavin's a Gordonsville guy, or Gavin, excuse me, but he married Bill's daughter. So we've almost got three generations of the same family. But since they built a new high school over there, it's an open zone school. It's a it's just like Mount Juliet and Lebanon High Schools with one less floor. Those two 6A schools have got three floors. Watertown's got two. They actually built soccer fields before they had a soccer team. But their athletic facilities surround the school just kind of like they do at Lebanon High School. And it's attracting students. People are moving to Watertown for that. People are commuting from Lebanon to play at Watertown. And it's an exciting place. I can't wait to get over there tomorrow night. Should be fun.
The Purple Tigers, I believe, right?
Right. And this field is level. The other field, for years and years, if you were running south on the football field, you were running downhill. Consequently, you were running uphill if you were going the other way the next half.
That would be confusing if we were running back, wouldn't it? You have to determine when you're going to put on the steam.
Terry, I would have been on the bench. My drink would have just been leaning one way or the other. That would have been the only difference.
Murphy, of course, a region close to home. We talked about this one, too, back in the summer. You got that Lewis County, Columbia Academy, Eagleville right in there. Boy, that's some really good football, and they really had some good games this year in that group.
They have. Eagleville's record doesn't show it, but they've got a great quarterback over there. He's one of the Mr. Football finalists also, I think. And the majority of that coaching staff at Eagleville are former MTSU assistant coaches. Floyd Walker, who was Boost Donnelly's one of his right-hand men for a long, long time, is now in the head coaching position over there. DA lost to Lewis County. Nobody outside of Hohenwald saw that one coming, I don't think. It'll be interesting to see how that works out. Coach Landstuhl's son is a great two-way player, deep safety, wide receiver. They've got a fire plug for a running back over there that's really hard to bring down. But Lewis County has got more speed maybe than they've ever had, and that kind of tends to be the equalizer a little bit on the football field.
Well, talking about Columbia Academy, if things work out, next week they would play Waverly. That could be interesting. Waverly's got that basketball team on the football field, right?
They really do, but there's another team in that Waverly region, Riverside, who's surprised a lot of people the last couple of years. Their coach over there, and all I can think of is his first name, Frosty. But anyway, he's kind of turned that program around a little bit. It's been primarily a baseball-softball school where both baseball and softball teams have won multiple state championships over the last 5 or 6 years.
Wow.
His son, Frosty, is the quarterback of the team, and they've generally been pretty athletic to be as rural as they are, and it's a four-team race in that quadrant for sure.
Yeah, and then, of course, on the bottom, you got to believe Peabody's right there, number four in the state. Their only loss was to Gibson County by 4 points. They rolled over Union City. Do you see them coming out of that bottom part of the bracket?
I do, that loss really caught everyone off guard, and I'm trying to remember. I've got it written down here. Let me cheat a little bit. But the guy who is the coach at Gibson County now, Cody Finley, coached at Cheatham County and Stewart County, and he's gone back home, and he's finally got all those kids. They're a great basketball school, but he's finally got them all on the same page where football is concerned, and they've turned a few heads this year. I don't know that they can do it again. I think Peabody's just got too much going in their favor.
Are we talking Peabody and who from the top, by the way? You never did really say. We need to nail that down.
Let me get my hammer and nails out right now and see. I'm thinking probably either Tyner Academy or Watertown, and I'm going to go with my heart, which makes it tough also because I think a lot of them. But Watertown's never been there before, and I'd like to think that'd be really cool if they could go. And they've got a great chance, I think.
Well, they could have a showdown with Tyner in the quarterfinals. That might be the game of the year.
Correct.
It's Murphy Fair. Stormy, we're going to make it. This last 1A say now. We've been through them all.
Plenty of time.
Okay.
I've kept quiet. That's the reason.
Something's missing here. I look at this picture.
Don't look to your left here. That's a
Green Bay 42-21 over Cornelsville, Murphy, last year. And we talked about this in the summer, too. You put them in there with Huntington or Lake County or South Pittsburgh. This is a group of characters. This is really big name in Class 1, a lot of big names.
It really is. I think the bottom half of that overall bracket is 50% tougher, at least, if not more than the upper half. You've got, you may not have as many teams, but you've got one, that you have not mentioned that may win it all, and that's Whipple. I saw them at Travis County, and it's very rare when you see a team from the same size school come in there and just hit you in the mouth and make you like it, and that's what Whipple does. They beat South Pittsburgh 3 or 4 touchdowns, and when you think about Whipple, South Pittsburgh, and Marion County all being in the same county, and I think 3 years ago, maybe two, all three of those schools were in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
Is pretty amazing. But there's a huge rivalry, and I know they ran the score up on South Pitt because they don't get a chance to do that very often. So,
well, actually, I had Whitwell circled here on my notes, and I was coming back to that, but you just took care of that, and that's great. Here's a number for Cornelsville, by the way. As we know, they lost in the championship game last year to Greenback. Cornelsville has not given up a single point since their very first game, and that was 20 points to Community. Since then, have not been scored on, and I got to tell you, the folks in South Marshall County are excited for that rematch with Greenback, but there's a little hay to put in the barn because Huntington looms ahead at Huntington in the quarterfinals.
The Huntington play Waverly, and they're a very young football team. He's got most of those kids back next year, and they like the turf. It's just like a track meet, and they put a pretty good hurting on Waverly, which was a very, very good 2A team. I understand the Waverly coach was so upset that when he got back home in the locker room with kids, got so wound up, two or three of them quit that were starters. He didn't like that very much, obviously, but Eric Swenson does a great job over there, a former Harriman guy who's been in West Tennessee for about 20 years, and I really like this Huntington team this year, next year, maybe the next year after that.
Well, the word is defense always travels well. You have a team at Cornelsville that's got a great D. Going to Huntington's got great O. Your pick.
I think it'll be really even. Obviously, Cornelsville's got speed, and we know Huntington does. I think it's going to boil down to that same old what nobody wants. They want to hear something different, but whoever turns it over the most is probably going to lose the ball game.
Well, Huntington averages 52 points a game, Stormy. Cornelsville averages 48. So can Cornelsville stop Huntington? I have no clue. Last year it was 21-20, and Huntington really, I don't want to say this too loud, but they fumbled on the 1 yard line. They could have won the game, but they didn't at Frog Bottom, and Cornelsville went away and obviously made it all the way to Google.
So you're thinking the over and under is over 100 points?
At least, no doubt about it. I'll say 52-48.
Vegas going to get involved in this one.
So the question for you, young man, is who makes it out of that bottom bracket to take on Greenback and Google?
I really think Huntington does it. If it's at their place. Their stadium is beautiful. It's a little town of about 3,000 people, and as I understand it, no tax money, no school board money. It's all private donations from industry and individuals. Even if it's a $10 bill, they've got a piece of that field, and they turn out big time and make their presence known. And it'll be interesting to see. It'll be a hostile environment for Cornelsville if they get there, for sure.
By the way, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, is Bethel College at Huntington in the Kennedy. It was the closest within, 20 miles?
Not far away.
Okay. I have dealt with First Baptist Church, Huntington, big church, exceptionally large for that area.
Exit 108 on
yep.
I-40. Turn
nope.
right to go to Huntington, left to Lexington.
Know where it is.
Knows West Tennessee well. And if that's not enough, Murphy, the following week they'd have to go to Lake County, and that'd be the semifinals for Cornelsville I'm talking about. So,
another tough place.
Yeah. I just assumed you picked Greenback at the top of that bracket. I shouldn't say that because you like Whitwell as well.
I do. I would have to go with Whitwell because I've seen them up close and personal. And
mark that down, Terry. Whitwell.
Mark that down.
They played a tough schedule. And you go to Hartsville and win, you've done something.
When you said I remember you calling in from Trout, and they said they beat Trousdale County. I went, wait, who? Who did what? Where? How? And that's got my attention that night. So, yes.
They have a history lesson. 101. There is a boxcar on display in Whitwell that transported Jewish people, the gas chambers in Auschwitz in Whitwell, that you can go and view and learn a little bit of history there. Pretty cool. It's right behind the middle school.
Wow.
Wow. So who are you picking to win in Cooper?
I'm going to go with Whipple. I really like
Whipple that. Over Huntington. I think that's his pick.
That's a good pick, Stormy. I like that, too. I mean, I like, you know, Carnesville, Whipple, Huntington, even maybe Lake County.
Any of them can, yeah.
Let me pull them apart a minute. Is the increase in talent at Cornersville, which is in South Marshall County, has that taken away from Marshall County Tigers?
I don't know. Terry probably can answer that question better than I.
That's a good question. There are kids in the Lewisburg area that have elected to go to Cornersville for whatever reason. Granted, it's not nearly as big a school as Marshall County High School because it's single A versus 4A. But I think some of the athletes from Lewisburg have gone to Cornersville because of last year.
I mentioned the three schools in Marion County. Look at Marshall County, Forest, and Cornersville. They've all done pretty well of late as well.
So, I mean, that's about it. I don't know what else to say. It's always good to have the guru with us, and Murphy, we appreciate it.
Just getting his insight and expertise, just it sets us up for the remainder of the year. And now, and we asked you this before, if you had, what would be the one team in each bracket, not to disappoint you, but just absolutely shocked you on how well they did this year, or were there any?
Well, I mentioned Houston, obviously, you know, being one of those.
Right.
McNary Central is one I didn't get a chance to mention. They've been awful for 5 or 6 years, and all of a sudden, I think their new coach, who grew up with my son-in-law, has convinced those kids to stay in Chelmer instead of going to Adams.
That's what I was going to say.
Because those are both open zone schools.
Right.
And it's certainly helped Adamsville in the past, but I would have to say that and maybe Evangelical Christian ECS that I mentioned.
Very good.
Jonas Rodriguez has done in a short period of time.
Very good.
Did we get all of your surprises, either good or bad? Have we talked about all those?
I think so. I think we've sort of danced around. It's interesting. This is the first time in 9 years that Dresden has not made playoffs. He's the only 1A school, I think, that beat Lake County this year early. Beat them bad. And then all of a sudden, the wheels fell off the bus, I think. I don't know.
And you're headed to Watertown tomorrow night, right?
Going to go see some Purple Tigers.
How did they come up with Purple Tigers?
So it's not to be confused with the Gordonsville Tigers, just 15 miles away. And interesting that the head coach at Watertown is a former Gordonsville Tiger.
Well, as the great Paul Harvey would say,
who should win over Sale Creek tomorrow night, who's only 2-7, to face off against South Pittsburgh in week 2, maybe.
Sale Creek's first time ever to make the playoff. But they only started football 6 or 8 years ago, I think. But still, one of two or three schools that are there for the first time. Kind of neat when that happens.
Got to be a fun time. A lot of excitement for those good schools. Terry, what a fun hour and a half. 3 segments.
Always great.
It never gets better than having Murphy Clear on Coach's Corner.
I agree.
That's the barbecue at Stroud.
Now the best part. You get to order.
Hey, barkeep. No.
Murphy Tate, have a good playoff run. We'll watch you in Cooper, okay?
Thanks, guys.
Great job, Terry. We'll look forward to tomorrow night. We're going to be at Redwood as a reminder. Pregame Murphy's matchups. Did you say Murphy's matchup in playoff? It is ended.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned
it. So what are we going to do at 6 o'clock? Well, Keelan Fisher is over scratching his head right now, 1333 West Main.
Maybe Keelan will have a little more time to get to the studio.
No, don't do that. Keelan, you got to be there early. Don't do that. Our pregame's at 6:30, kickoff at 7 p.m. Marcus Stone, the Storm, and the Stone will have the broadcast for you tomorrow night from Brentwood for Murphy Fair, the guru for Terry Merrill. This is Stormy Mitchell. Also, Keelan Fisher on the board tonight. Great job. Thanks, y'all, for tuning in tonight. And next week, we will be back. I'm not sure with who. Terry will have that information for. Who do you want next week?
Let's just see what happens tomorrow night first, because you never know. I mean, we may have some surprises. You know, it could be Page Summit, possibly, right?
It could
be Ravenwood, Cane Ridge, although that would be on the road, so probably not from our perspective. But
our options are endless.
There are options. That's right.
Sounds good. Keelan, great job tonight. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Y'all tune in tomorrow night, 6:30. We'll have it at 7 p.m. kickoff. Good night, everybody. Good night. God bless.